Know how we do this verse by verse? 2:30, we will be done. Maybe 2:25. So, we're going to go quickly. Joshua 9, verse number 1 and 2. And it came to pass, when all the kings which were on this side Jordan, in the hills and in the valleys, and in all the coasts of the great sea over against Lebanon, the Hittite, and the Amorite, and the Canaanite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite heard thereof, that they gathered themselves together to fight with Joshua and with Israel with one accord. So, it's pretty clear what's happening, written in story form. But the kings who are next on Joshua's list of kings to conquer get together, and they form an alliance. They're like, Joshua's not going to get us, we're going to get him. So they join together, try to make this mega power to take out Joshua. Verses 3 through 5. And when the inhabitants of Gibeon heard that Joshua had done unto Jericho and to Ai, they did work willily, and went and made as if they had been ambassadors, and took old sacks upon their asses, and wine bottles, old and rent and bound up, and old shoes and clouted upon their feet, and old garments upon them. And all the bread of their provision was dry and moldy. So what's going on here? Some trickery is what's happening. That word that I didn't pronounce right, wilily. That word means trickery. So there's trickery going on here. The inhabitants of Gibeon, the Hivites, in verse 7, you can read about that when you get there, when we get there. So the inhabitants of Gibeon had a different plan. And these people also included from verse 17, and the children of Israel journeyed and came into their cities on the third day. Now their cities were Gibeon and Chephira and Beeroth and Kirjath Jearim. So these other towns, these other people are also included with the Hivites here. They worked some trickery. They came up with a plan. Beautiful plan that they created. Great idea. They're smart with what they're doing. They acted like they were far from home and their provisions were failing. We need some help. Please help us. Please take us in. We'll be your servants, whatever. Help us out here. We're from far, far away. Verse number 6. And they went to Joshua unto the camp at Gilgal, and said unto him and to the men of Israel, we be come from a far country. Now therefore make ye a league with us. So what are they trying to do with Joshua? First of all, they're tricking him. They go to him and they say, hey, make a league with us, make a covenant, make a pact with us, make a pledge that you're not going to kill us. We're from very, very far away. Verse number 7. And the men of Israel said unto the Hivites, peradventure ye dwell among us, and how shall we make a league with you? So what are they saying? What if you really are from close to here? How can we make a treaty with you? If you are from here, we are supposed to take you out. That's from Deuteronomy 7, 1 and 2. If you want to flip back, or I can read that. It's just two verses. Deuteronomy 7, 1 and 2. When the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, and hath cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Canaanites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than thou. And when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt what? Smite them, and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no what? Covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them. So if these people that's trying to make this covenant, this treaty with Joshua, with the nation of Israel, if they were from close, what was Joshua not supposed to show? He wasn't supposed to show mercy to them. He was supposed to wipe them out, take them out. So verse verses number 8 through 13. Told you we're going quick. And they said unto Joshua, "We are thy servants." And Joshua said unto them, "Who are ye, and from whence come ye?" And they said unto him, "From a very far country thy servants are come, because of the name of the Lord thy God. For we have heard the fame of him, and all that he did in Egypt, and all that he did to the two kings of the Amorites that were beyond Jordan, to Sihon king of Heshbon, and to Og king of Bashan, which was at Ashtaroth. Wherefore our elders and all the inhabitants of our country spake to us, saying, Take victuals with you for the journey, and go to meet them, and say unto them, We are your servants, wherefore now make ye a league with us. This our bread we took hot from our provision out of our houses." They're good, right? They're saying, this used to be hot. These shoes used to be nice. What verse were we on? 12. "But now, behold, it is dry and it is moldy. And these bottles of wine which we filled were new. And behold, they be rent. And these our garments and our shoes are become old by reason of the very long journey." That's some trickery right there. Some wily behavior. Right there, that's a great, they're geniuses as far as I'm concerned. Because they had heard what the Lord had been doing. They weren't lying about that part. They knew bad days are coming for them if they sit there and try to make an alliance. So they come up with this great master plan. Let's go be wily. Let's go trick Joshua. Let's see what we can do. So they give their sob story. "We will be your servants. We just want to live. Let us be your servants." Then we move on to verses 14 and 15. "And the men took of their victuals and asked not counsel at the mouth of the Lord." Key phrase right there. That's the title is, should have asked. Verse number 15. "And Joshua made peace with them and made a league with them and let them live, and the princes of the congregation swear unto them." So the trickery worked. Great plan, executed well. Joshua falls for it. The people fall for it. They made peace, they made a covenant, and they let them live. According to Deuteronomy 7, 1 and 2, oops, right? That's a mistake. They would have been okay if they were from far away. There was different rules set up for people far away. They could show some peace there. They could show some mercy there. Deuteronomy 20, verses 10 through 15, if you want to look into that. We won't turn there today. But would have been okay if they were from far away. So that's how in Joshua's mind, okay, this is convincing. Their shoes are old. You know, their food is old. Their wine bottles are broken. They look tired, like they've been journeying. I'm going to go ahead and trust them on this one. How did all of this happen? Why did this happen? What was the cause of Joshua and the leaders being tricked? Exactly. They didn't ask God. They asked not counsel at the mouth of the Lord. Oops. I wonder why they didn't ask. And that's a question open for thought, for guesses. My guess is they had just had an amazing victory. And you can see that from their track record. Amazing victory, oops moment. Amazing victory, oops moment. That's the nation of Israel. So great victory. Oh, we got this. We can trust these ambassadors, these people with old shoes. We can trust them. Verse 16, the story gets better. "And it came to pass at the end of 3 days, after they had made a league with them, that they heard that they were their neighbors and that they dwelt among them." So the truth gets out. I'm surprised it took 3 days. Got a whole bunch of people. Somebody's going to talk. Verses 17 and 18. "And the children of Israel journeyed and came unto their cities on the third day." So here's a clue as to how they figured it out. "Now their cities were Gibeon and Chephirah and Beeroth and Kirjath-Jearim And the children of Israel smote them not, because the princes of the congregation had sworn unto them by the Lord God of Israel. And all the congregation murmured against the princes. So imagine this playing out. They had just made a league. They just made a pact 3 days ago that, okay, we're not going to wipe you out. You're from far away. You're fine. They journey 3 days. They come to these people's towns. They're supposed to wipe them out, but they can't. There's that oops moment again. Here are the next towns we're supposed to take out. Oh, wait a minute. You tricked us. We can't take you out. The people start to murmur and they start to complain against the rulers. So not only do they have all these people with them that they shouldn't have, but now their own people are starting to gripe and complain and murmur against the leaders here. Verse number 19. But all the princes said unto all the congregation, we have sworn unto them by the Lord God of Israel. Now therefore we may not touch them. We've made a vow to the Lord God of Israel. We can't touch them. We must keep our word. Verse number 20. This we will do to them. We will even let them live, lest wrath be upon us because of the oath which we swear unto them. So here's what we'll do. We'll let them live. But there's going to be some stipulations with that. Verse number 21. And the princes said unto them, let them live, but let them be hewers of wood and drawers of water unto all the congregation, as the princes had promised them. So they're going to go to work for us. They're servants. They said, hey, we'll be your servants. Let us live. Guess what? They're servants now. What was their job? Hard work. Hewers of wood, chopping down trees, shaping trees, and not with their chainsaws either. We're talking hand-hewn wood. I worked on a timber frame house in Missouri Heights, and it was beautiful, dug for kiln drying beams, just huge timbers, you know, 20-some inches wide, thick, beautiful. They were wrapped in nice packaging. I'm sure those are expensive stuff, Uncle Kenny. So they sent us these, they're plain, I mean, they're ready to go, but the owners wanted them to look hand-hewn. So I spent 6 months hand-hewing wood that was already cut to the right size. So it's a broad axe. You take chunks up, and it has to be random chunks. There can be no pattern to it. And the GC would come around and say, those look too close to the same. You got to mix up your broad axe marks. And then we take a wire brush on a 7-inch grinder, so it looks like it's rough finish, and the wires fly off and hit you in the face and stick in your face. That was like for fun hewing kind. I mean, I wasn't really hewing wood. It was for aesthetics. But that's these people's job. They're hewing wood, shaping wood with tools that probably weren't up to the highest quality, that's their job. And also transporting water, not with a water truck, right? Transporting water is tough. Water always wins. It's sloshing around, it's heavy, it's awkward. That's the rest of their life. So sure they lived, but they're hewing wood and hauling water. So that was the compromise that was made. Verse number 22. And Joshua called for them, and he spake unto them, saying, wherefore have you beguiled us, saying, we are very far from you when ye dwell among us? So it's interesting to think of Joshua going to these people, why did you trick us? And basically he's saying, I fell for it. Good job, you tricked me. But he's asking them, why would you do this? You really live among us. Why would you do this to us? Verse number 23, now therefore ye are cursed, and there shall none of you be freed from being bondmen and hewers of wood and drawers of water for the house of my God. You are cursed, now you are our slaves. Verse 24, and they answered Joshua and said, because it was certainly told thy servants how that the Lord thy God commanded his servant Moses to give you all the land and to destroy all the inhabitants of the land from before you, Therefore, we were sore afraid of our lives because of you and have done this thing. We were afraid you were going to kill us. That's what they said. That's why we did this. That's a legitimate fear, is it not? They were going to die if they didn't do something. They did something brilliant on their part, but Joshua and the people fell for it. Verse 25, and now behold, we are in thine hand, as it seemeth good and right unto thee to do unto us do. They say, we're in your hand. We might be slaves, but hey, we're still alive. Verse 26 and 27, and so did he unto them, and delivered them out of the hand of the children of Israel, and they slew them not. And Joshua made them that day hewers of wood and drawers of water for the congregation and for the altar of the Lord, even unto this day, in the place which he should choose. So they became hewers of wood and drawers of water. Their plan worked. They were slaves forever. Imagine how the story could have played out had they asked counsel of the Lord. Because remember, I'm talking about for the nation of Israel, not, I guess, for the other guys too. They were supposed to go in. God's going to give them the enemy. They're going to destroy them. Here they have the enemy, the leaders of the enemy, basically walking into their camp as vulnerable as possible. Had they asked God's counsel, that's an easy victory right there. They're standing there in old shoes, dirty clothes. The bad guys are in their backyard. What do, though? They don't ask God. They messed up. How'd they mess up? Why'd they mess up? They should have asked. They thought that they had it figured out. I mean, because that's a simple one. It looks clear cut. Like, why would we not believe these people? We got this. But even in the simple stuff, they should have asked counsel of the Lord. So, we can make, and we probably do make, the same mistake. Right here's the personal fun part where it's nice to bash on their mistakes, but let's start pointing the finger our direction. Because that's an easy mistake for us to do. To go into your day, I got this. I got to do this and this and this and this and this. I got it figured out. I'm going to get it done. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Probably have that memorized. And lean not unto thine own understanding, and he shall direct thy paths. So what's the direction that we should be looking for that will help us with our daily life? The direction from the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. What happened there? The people, the leaders, leaned on their own understanding, right? Well, this looks easy. Their story matches up with what they're saying. I mean, with their clothes and stuff. So we got this. But verse number 6, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Why do we struggle with trusting God and not turning to the all-knowing God? I'm not saying all the time in every decision. But there is times, on a daily basis probably, with the simple stuff, when I got this, right? When we can trust in the Lord with all our heart. We can not lean on our understanding because we know where that gets us sometimes. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. So let's ask God. He wants to lead us. He knows a whole lot more than I do. He knows a whole lot more than we do. And it's such a simple truth. from such a simple story. Just lean on God. Let Him guide you, direct you. Ask. Ask God. He wants to help us. He wants to lead us. He wants to guide us. And His way is best. So, should have asked. That's the main thought. Let's think of that when we think of this story. Interesting story. Let's put emphasis on asking God, even for the stuff that we think we have figured out. Let's pray. For just the simple application, the stuff that we know, nothing new this afternoon. We know we can trust on You. We know that we should trust on You. We know that we should lean on You for direction. I pray that You will help us, that You will lead us, that You will guide us, and that we will trust in You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.